And a happy Sunday to you. It is Freedom Fiends live on May 26, 2013. I am Nima Vidadi, and we've also got Michael W. Dean joining us from rural Wyoming. What's up, Michael?
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting from my windowless bunker, coming to you today in Bunker Vision. I am Michael Dean, also known as DJ Silencer. On the other end there, we got Nima Vidadi, also known as,
Raymond Noodles, yo.
Raymond Noodles.
And MC Library.
And MC also. Library. Yes, yeah, because of our hip-hop video, our toe-tapping number for the kids to listen to, and it was in the top 40 of the bottom 40, and it's called Obama's Feet Stink. And if you want to go search that on YouTube, it's got an audio sample of my 91-year-old dad complaining about the president. It's pretty cool.
Yes. I think the full title was Obama's Feet Stink and Romney Likes the Smell. If you want to be technical about it, if you want to be literal,
because we're not only post-racial, we are post-political. Because
post-political, yeah,
we know they're all bad. If you're new to us listening out there, you're going to hear us just complain about Obama nonstop. But just know that if Romney had won, well, we'd be trying to complain nonstop. But I think that we'd be in Gitmo by now. And I actually think this is heresy to a lot of people, but I actually think it's a good thing that. If you want to play the political game in your head, I think it's a good thing that Romney didn't win, because I really think that if Romney had won, guns would be illegal by now, because Romney is basically the same as Obama in almost every way. But the Republicans are just going, I will not back Obama. And if Romney'd won, even though he's a Democrat in Republican clothing, the Republicans would be going, yes, we need to think of the children. And he'd be passing all sorts of laws that hurt.
Mm-hmm. Just like the anti-war left falls asleep on the job when a Democrat is in office. Ugh. You could imagine the right-wingers would fall asleep on the job when a Republican was in office. And the problem is people listen to what politicians say instead of watching what they do, man. Just because a politician says something or has an R or a D next to his name, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean jack squat. Watch what they do, and it's all tyrannical all the time.
Yeah, you suddenly got a tiny little bit of reverb there. It sounds like you're in a hall addressing the multitudes.
Yes, I'm in the hall, Onima.
Is that something you're adding, or is the central scrutinizer interrupting us again?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Is it still there?
Yeah, well, I don't have anything on my end. I think that, we go through the same satellites. My theory is that we go through the same satellites that control the drones. I think that they're positioning the drones over the fiends' bunkers right now. And it just made a little bit of
we're hearing our loop back from the drone satellites.
Yeah, so computers are an interesting mix of science and voodoo. And I think that's what happened.
Okay.
Yeah. We're talking about the left and right thing about how they're the same and where is the anti-war left and... we're glad that the fake Democrat Republican didn't win, because then the fake Republicans would all be voting with him on more tyranny. Mm-hmm. Why does anyone call Bill Maher a libertarian, or is it only him that calls him?
I think it's Maher.
Maher. Yeah. Why is it just him that calls himself a libertarian, or do people do that? Is that a thing?
I think it's just him and maybe fans of his who believe what he says, which, you have your own problems if that's you.
Yeah, man.
But you're right, man. I mean, what was that tweet you sent me? I don't have it pulled up here, but...
It says, doesn't Obama have anyone on staff to toss hecklers? Okay, this is about somebody from Code Pink who... I don't like when they talk about guns, because Code Pink are absolutely anti-gun, and they need to go check out the Pink Pistols, the pro-gay, pro-gun group. The armed fags don't get bashed is their motto, and they are gay people from San Francisco who are pro-gun, which is, I lived in San Francisco, and that would just make most people in San Francisco, straight or gay, go, I don't get it. No, you have to pick a side. You have to believe everything from column A or column B. But, it's true. Armed gays don't get bashed. So I like that. I like that idea. But that's Pink Pistols. But then there's Code Pink, which is a predominantly gay anti-war group. And Neem and I are adamantly anti-war. We're adamantly pro-self-defense. We walk around with guns. We're like, don't step to us. And we're kind of kidding about the attitude. We don't have an attitude about it. We just carry guns, and it's our natural right.
Armed and peaceful as opposed to armed and dangerous.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends, anti-war, pro-gun. And we did a lot of talking yesterday about why people who don't like the president and don't like what he's doing should really question about why they're agreeing with him on the worst things. Of yes, we like war, we like drones, we like indefinite detention. Lock them people up, even if we just think they're bad. So the reason we don't like that is because you shouldn't be doing that, is because if you're doing that, it's going to end up being done to you in Obama's fifth term or something. So.
Mm-hmm. Once you set those precedent, man. So what did Bill Maher, as in the C, what did he say?
Well, Code Pink did some really good work. You were talking yesterday. I mean, they do with anti-war stuff. You were talking yesterday about how ridiculous it is and what a lie it is for Obama to stand up and say, isn't this horrible that we have to drone these people? And you're like,
yeah,
it's you. You could stop doing it today. Stop blaming it on someone else.
The Obama dissociative disorder.
Yes, I think ODD.
So somebody else pointed. I don't remember who they were, but yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yep. So, and some lady from Code Pink. I don't know how they get into these things. I mean, they get into these events that look like they'd be invite only, but they get in there somehow, like a parasite in a colon. Now they get in there somehow, wiggle in there, and they stand up and scream at the president and scream truth at him. They're like, "Why do you do this?" You know, like enumerating what a murderer he is with drones and why he's a hypocrite. And she did that for about 3 minutes. And you can like Obama and Pelosi have both been victim of this. And people are like, oh, those poor politicians trying to do their job, trying to murder people and justify it. And someone calls them on it. And this lady was doing it. And Obama just kind of rolled his eyes and tried to wait for her to finish. So Bill Maher, alleged libertarian, actual pretty much progressive, said,
yeah, he's a lefty progressive.
He tweeted, doesn't Obama have anyone on staff to toss hecklers? If you shut up, lady, he's answering your questions. Maybe we need one more drone strike.
Wow. Yeah, that's not cool to joke about. And President Obama actually set the precedent for that. The president set the precedent, and it's just horrible. I don't think it's funny at all. He said during one of the press corps, you know, dinners or whatever, he made a joke about how the Jonas Brothers, you know, his daughters were big fans of the Jonas Brothers, and he said to the Jonas Brothers, because I think they were in the audience, I got two words for you, boys, predator drone.
Ugh.
You won't even see it coming. Which would, I mean, okay, it's not funny because he's actually killed American teenager or a American teenager with a drone strike. You know, so it's like, hey, I'm not joking, kids. I will kill you. I will see. People like to say Obama has blood on his hands for the Benghazi thing. Well, not only that, but he's also got bits of little kids in his stubble and on his lapel.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I don't dig the horizontal enforcement. And that's what it is. We use the words horizontal enforcement and horizontal liberation. Why don't you go ahead and explain those for us, Nima?
Ah, so horizontal enforcement is a really important point, right? I mean, that's really the concept of the state, because what you have is you have people like Obama and Pelosi and Feinstein, and they're the government, and yes, they make edicts, but the problem is that there are so many people out there that say, yes, make those edicts, yes, throw people in prison, yes, tax people and throw them in a cage if they don't pay their taxes. That's the horizontal enforcement. It's the people that A, obey, and the people that B, support. You know, there's an old saying that, you know, a tyrannical dictatorship will fall the minute the people stop supporting it. And that's really why horizontal enforcement is such an important concept to grasp, is that what it is really is it's not the person up there in D.C. so much. It's everybody next to you who says that the person in D.C. is right and who will yell at you and attack you when you start talking about real freedom.
Yeah.
Horizontal liberation is, of course, the opposite of that. It's the people like me and Michael and everybody in the blogosphere and in the world, or your neighbor who's a freedom lover who talks about what real liberty is all day, every day to anybody who will listen.
Yep. That's so square. So square, man. We were talking about my vestigial commie tail the other day. You were talking about going into Guitar Center to rent some gear to do a wedding. You do DJing for weddings. And you were talking to me on the phone while you're there, and I was kind of like, man, Guitar Center always depresses me. I guess that's a problem because I say that I support the market, and the market is great, and commerce drives the engine of the world. But Guitar Center always makes me depressed, and it's because there's so many people in there spending so much money on dreams that 99.99999% of them will never achieve. But I think that that is leftover vestigial socialism from way back in my youth.
I think so, yeah.
Because the thing I didn't really consider in that equation is, A, it's not everyone there is trying to become rich and famous. A lot of people go in there and buy guitars because they play in a band and they have fun, or they, you know, buy recording equipment and do some stuff at home, and maybe they get little dreams of, yeah, I'll be famous someday. But you know, not all of them are deluded to think, yeah, I'm great enough, when they're not. And even if the ones that are, they probably have enough enjoyment of it anyway, you know, that it's worth it to them.
The chase of the dream is, you know, an end of itself sometimes, you know. Sometimes even after you achieve the dream, life isn't as great as you thought it. I mean, look at all the depressed, drug addict rock musicians that don't enjoy where they're at with their life.
I used to be one. I was signed to Warner Brothers and toured the world and played in a band called Bomb in San Francisco and went through, stayed with all sorts of strange ladies and slept on floors for beer money and, you know, got a tattoo in Jackson, Mississippi, and it was a lot of fun. But, you know, I ended up addicted to drugs and broke and penniless and beat up and beat down. And I finally got sober in 94 and then decided what to do. And I became a filmmaker and a writer, and then really went back to my dream from my childhood, which is being a radio broadcaster, because I've wanted to do that since I was 8. I was always fascinated with radio. And for some reason, radio hasn't gone away. You'd think it would. You'd think TV would have killed radio by now. Video killed the radio star, but it didn't. Talk radio is bigger than ever. There's a couple reasons for that. And you'd think the internet would kill it, but no, it's still around, terrestrial radio. And the reason is, talk radio is like the basic form of communication. It's one person speaking to another, and there will always be a demand and a market for that.
Right. And I think so much more so than video, because when you watch video or TV, there's so much trickery that can go on with the images and the whoosh sounds and the cuts and the effects that it's really, TV isn't really what it's like, what your eyes see in nature or in the real world. It's very artificial. But talk radio, man, I mean, just somebody talking into a microphone, talking to the listener, or me and you, like we do it, we're basically having a conversation. It's like your friends are all listening in on that conversation. That's something that you could experience in real life. It's much more in tune with human nature, I suppose.
Yep. You know why else talk radio is bigger than ever? Is because music costs money to program, and ASCAP and BMI and the music industry got so greedy that it made it hard to run a music radio station. And talk radio, you know, it's done with ad barter. Like, we get a few ads, the network gets a few ads, the local radio station gets a few ads. It's capitalism in its purest form.
You're listening to Beans with almost. Almost.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
And top of the Sunday to you, it is May 26, 2013, and we are live. We are the Freedom Fiends, and the Fiends includes me, Nima V, and Michael Dean. What's up, Mr. Dean?
I'm good. How you doing there, Raymond Noodles?
Ah, doing very good. Yes, very good.
Yeah, we're the Fiends are very influenced by hip hop, and one of the ways we're influenced by hip hop is we all have like eight names. We both have like eight names.
Ah, yes. Well,
rappers, why do rappers do that? Because they're on the run from the law?
I think it's just fun. It's just a fun thing. Really, the way I remember it mostly is from Wu-Tang. You know, they always had like the RZA was also the Abbot. Ghostface Killah was also Tony Stark's. You know, so when people talk about Tony Stark, I haven't seen any of the new Iron Man movies, but whenever people talk about Tony Stark's, I always think of Ghostface Killah, who nodded to me once after a concert. So,
ooh. The singer in the Bad Brains nodded at me once after a concert, and it kind of like froze my soul. That guy has some weird mojo in him. He's really, he's weird. He thinks he's a king, too. He's into that like Pan-African, God, what's the Coptic Christianity? They're, I don't know if they're the best example of it, but they are part of that combined with Rastafari, combined with believing they're the true sons of Israel, combined with... They smoke pot like I drink water, in that they probably consume four to 8 pounds of it a day.
Okay.
Bad Brains are awesome, man. Bad Brains are amazing.
Yeah. Go Bad Brains.
Yeah. Yep. I had an interesting, we were talking about before the break, before we went to the market and sold things. We were talking about my dreams of radio as a child. Dreams of my father's father's son. And I always wanted to communicate with the world. You know, I always like used to before the internet when I was a kid. I'm 49, turned 49 yesterday. At least that's my radio birthday. My birthday's around this time. My Facebook birthday, when I was on Facebook before I got off the CIA book, my birthday was always May 27th. I don't like to say my real birthday, or that may be my real birthday, but I'm going to say maybe it's not. Because I don't want people to know my birthday, first of all, because it's the first step in stealing someone's identity. Second of all, I don't like a million people all writing me the same day, most of whom don't know me, saying, happy birthday. It's kind of annoying.
That's the best part. What are you talking about? I love that.
I am confident enough in my manualness, in my humanity.
Manual,
that I don't need to be told that. So, you know, it kind of goes into my, like, I don't like holidays because they get in my way. But, you know, the birthday is the holiday for you. So it's cooler than, like, the government bank holidays. But so I think my radio birthday is going to be the third Saturday in May, regardless. So yesterday was my 49th birthday, my radio birthday. But I was thinking about like how technology has changed since I was a kid, and I was talking to someone at our network, and we were talking about getting a signed release or a signed affiliate agreement from somebody, and there was some problem with the fax machine or something. And I was like, well, I'll just send them the contract with an SASE. And somebody at GCN who's in their late 20s or early 30s said, what's an SASE? And I was like,
I know. I don't know what that is either.
You really don't? How old are you?
An SASE? I'm 29. SASE.
It's a stamped self-addressed envelope.
Ah, okay. Well, why don't you just say that then?
Well, it's the abbreviation for it, and a lot of people wouldn't even know what that means or why you'd have that. Before the interwebs, when you'd hear an ad on radio, at the end of the ad, now they say, you know, go to www.freedomandguns.com. Back before the internet, they'd say, for more information, send an SASE to Freedom and Guns, P.O. Box 2827, Biloxi, Mississippi. You know, I mean, they would tell you that was how, instead of a web address, to get more information, they would give out a P.O. box and tell you to send an SASE, which is
too much work, man.
That's how we did it. When I was young, we would walk uphill both ways to the post office to get information. But I was just thinking, it was kind of interesting to me, like, that, you know, and I'm not missing it. I'm not like, you young people have no appreciation for the traditions of doing things the hard way. You know, I'm not missing it. I'm not like, I want to go back to the greatness of America when we didn't have to bother with dub, dub, dub. And all we had to do was take an envelope, address it to ourselves, put a stamp on it, take another envelope, put the first stamped envelope addressed to us in the second envelope, address it to some P.O. box that we can't remember because we only heard the ad once, and then put a stamp on that and then go to the post office.
Back
when America was great.
Yeah. Reminds me of this. I was watching Modern Family the other day, and they were like touring this fancy prep school. And the guy giving the tour was like, this is our rare book library. And at first I thought he meant it was rare that there was a library with books in it. But he meant a library full of rare books.
That's awesome.
Like, oh, okay. I get it. All right. We'll be back after we go to the market, folks. Stay with us.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
It is the Freedom Fiends live back once again. It is Sunday, May 26, 2013. I'm Nima Vidati, and we've also got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Michael?
You are Nima Vidati, also known as the rapper Raymond Noodles.
Yes, apparently that's my new moniker.
Eat a lot of ramen noodles. Yeah. You sound really good, and you're using like, I'm using the $500 broadcast mic. You're using the $99 rap mic, the punk rock mic, the SM58. Sure.
SM58. Beautiful live mic. Yeah, you can see Lil Wayne holding one upside down on the cover of an old Scratch magazine. Yeah, man. It's a good mic. I dig it. I like
it's a lot. Probably the most common mic in the world because it's so utilitarian. It's kind of like the AK-47 of microphones. I've heard that there are more AK-47 rifles in the world. There's one in this room, actually, somewhere. I don't know. It's in the closet somewhere. But there are more AK-47 rifles in the world than there are any other firearm. And the AK-47 is not the most accurate rifle by far. However, you can run over it with a tank in a big sand pit and then throw it into a swamp and then pull it out and it'll still fire. Whereas, you know, more accurate rifles have to be treated more lovingly and gingerly. Yeah. And the same thing with an SM58. There is a video on YouTube of someone driving a nail with it and then singing through it. It's pretty cool. Whereas my mic, the RE20 Electro Voice could actually drive an SM58 into a board and still work. It's unlike most condenser mics that are really sensitive audio wise and break easy, as you found. This mic can beat up your mic. This mic weighs as much as my loaded Glock, exactly as much, because I have the little gold scale for, you know, all my precious
metallurgy.
Yeah, lead.
Your alchemy.
Glass and lead. Yeah.
Oh, right. So, you lost your metals in a voting accident.
I did. I traded metals for this mic and for a lot of this pod gear that we're using for this radio show. We still use the word pod. We were podcast for 2 years. Now we're on radio. And which means we've had to change our tune as to words we say. We can't cuss anymore. And we have to use the Dump Master 3000. What's it called? The Dump 3000. Yeah. Which is builds a delay. It's kind of voodoo. Builds a 7/6 and 7-second delay in real time. And people were talking about it in the chat room. It's interesting. It's voodoo. It's science. Now, we have what we call now is the Stato cuss words, which are words we can say on air, like blurg. Blurg. Liz Lemon is a good source for cuss words you can say on the air. Blurg. Apparently. It means nothing. It's just made up. She also uses Nerf Herder, which is kind of like the Star Wars equivalent of calling someone a goat roper. We do like to say radio transmissions and crocodiles, which who knows what that means. We say pwog for progressive, but it's a really kind of dirty sounding word. Oh, those pwogs. And I made up one that's great, which is Holy Bingleschmidt. Which Bingleschmidt, man, who knows? Who knows what that means? It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. It means whatever you want it to mean at any given time. It's malleable. Yep. It's great.
Now, why would the Cuss Dump 3000 exist in LibPair, in Libertarian Paradise, where there wasn't an FCC telling you what you could do? I think because it would still exist.
The beauty of LibPair is ideally it's based on the market, and different people want different things. You know, some Joe Jacks might want to listen to lots of cussing and death metal and talking about babies getting blown to bits in a good way, and some people might not
babies
want that
getting
at
blown
all.
To bits in a good way.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Like real metal people, you know, like death clock,
like
type
death
stuff.
Clock, like humor, like stuff. Yeah, okay,
yeah,
I got
people. People might want that kind of thing, and whatever, you know, it's radio. And if there wasn't a monopoly FCC to decide that it's one size fits all, then that size would fit some people. But, you know, the people who don't ever want to hear a cuss word, want to hear good, clean fun, have families when they're driving on their road trip, they should get what they want too. You know, why can't we all have what we want? We can. You just don't need to have a monopoly enforcing a one-size-fits-all rule on everybody. So the companies that were catering to the good, clean family fun would still have their cuss dump 3000.
Yeah, I've actually heard radio shows that dump or beep the word hell. Like really, really family-friendly shows, square shows. But, you know, it's their audience. They don't want it. They think that's a really bad word. That's a right. word that you can absolutely say on radio. I'm not going to say it 12 times in a row to make my point, but I said it. And it's not a word that some people like. And people, right. I've heard radio shows where you can tell that's what the guy said, the caller or whatever, and they dumped it.
Well, hey, man, like you said earlier, I do DJ weddings, and, you know, a lot of wedding audiences, it's a church wedding, you know, they're part of a church congregation, and they don't want to hear any of that nasty cursing, but they still want to hear some of the top 40 hits, which include rapping sometimes, and so you got to go find the clean version. You know, there was a big hubbub back in the day when, you know, before iTunes, you had to get music from Walmart sometimes because you lived in a small town, and Walmart did edit all of their albums that they sold in Walmart, and some people felt, you know, upset by that. But even in this day and age where you have iTunes and you can get anything you want, a lot of people, a lot of companies, record companies still produce a clean version of a hit song so that people can play them for audiences that don't like that nasty cussing.
Yeah, and you know, that's a problem with pwogs, progressives, and some other people too, but mainly just any kind of statist who doesn't really understand property rights. I've heard people like wanting to boycott Walmart because they only do clean versions. And the thing is, it's like, it's not censoring. It's not violating free speech because it's not preventing the cuss version of that record being in another store.
Exactly.
It's a market. They're tailoring to a market of really, really, really square people. And that's our thing. We don't say that's bad and horrible. We just say that is so square, which is also what we say about statists, people who love the state and defend it like their mother.
Yeah, man. The market provides for all. That's the concept, man. Why can't we all get what we want? If you have a market-based system, then we all can. You know, people don't go to war over which is better, a Mac or a PC. I mean, they might cry about it in a forum somewhere, but that doesn't really hurt anybody. But when you have something that is state-run or politically controlled, then you have people putting their lives on the line and taking it very personally what gets done and what doesn't. Because it's a one-size-fits-all thing. Whatever the law is what everybody has to do. Whatever the reg is what everybody has to do. And why even worry about a system like that? Why have a system like that? We've evolved past that as a species.
Yeah, yep. And people who defend Apple or Microsoft like they're defending their family, that kind of reminds me of statism. I mean, I guess I don't really mind it as much because it doesn't come with government aggression, with something being pointed at my head, you know, violence being pointed at my head to enforce something. But it's really, really square. And it's as stupid as arguing Democrat versus Republican. Really, like, the only argument is Linux or non-Linux. And I'm not a Linux-only guy. I mainly use Windows stuff because it's the cheapest with the most power. And basically these days, you know, I think here's my argument and that my hat in that argument. Anybody who defends Apple like they're defending their family is defending I am cool and like style more than I like power, power computing and functionality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mayhaps, man. Mayhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess people get attached to their thing and they want to be part of the group, and it's almost kind of like a my team's better than your team thing, which, you know, that's fine as long as you don't try to force your beliefs on somebody else. Like a good example of what the state would be is mandating a Mac or mandating a PC for all. You know,
we don't
co-sign anything like that. That's the same thing as what Obamacare is, you know, mandating health insurance for all.
In Soviet America, healthcare pays for you. No, wait, that's healthcare violates you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, man, that's all.
Although
square.
Someone did point out now that the Pentagon is using Apple products, it kind of points a gun at our heads. And, you know, really, if you wanted to have more efficient government stealing and be able to say, we reduced spending by 0.0001% to the 10% we raised it this year, you know, which is how they always say they cut spending. What is it? I mean, of all people, Rush Limbaugh actually came up with a really good explanation for that. He said that that's, you know, that's like a guy who is gaining 10 pounds a year, who only gains 8 pounds for 1 year, saying, I'm losing weight. Actually, he's right. A stop clock is right once a week, maybe. A stopped atomic clock is blank, but yeah. Yeah, so if they really were going to steal more efficiently, they'd all be using Linux because they don't have to pay the licensing for it.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of bigger companies use Linux for their underlying servers and all that because, yeah, man, it's a lot cheaper. You don't have to spend millions of dollars on licenses if you've got millions of dollars or if you've got employees with millions of dollars worth of laptops, you know? Why pay that extra money? There's no need for it.
Yeah, you just have to spend millions of dollars for nerds to run it all for you.
But see, that brings up another good point is that the government doesn't spend its own money. They don't have a profit motive. They don't have a loss system of keeping track of how efficient they are. They just go buy the newest, most expensive thing or the
shiny
thing that their friend the lobbyist told them to buy because they're going to give them – that company's going to give them lots of campaign contributions in the future for the next campaign. That's what they base their decision on, not like a mother, a single mother or a family mother budgeting this week's food. Not at all like that, or not at all like a startup company trying to figure out how to provide better for the customers so they have to cut some corners for their employees. No, it's not like that at all because it's not their money.
I like in 30 Rock where Jack says, yes, we're into cross promotion now. That's why General Electric is including a DVD of the new NBC show Stripes with every missile defense system. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and really Linux is a perfect example of why the market can take care of things and you don't need the government. And actually which is weird because a lot of Linux people are totally socialist in everything else. When they've invented this thing cooperatively, that is like one of the greatest achievements of humanity of all time that was done by the market, by people. And you give it away free and people still make money at it. It's almost like voodoo, but there's a lot of Linux consultants and Linux specific programmers, and you can actually resell it and brand it with your own thing. I'm sure there's an NSA distribution of Linux out there somewhere and a DHS distribution of Linux, but they're also free market ones. And it was invented by our buddy and interviewee. We should have him on sometime. Eric S. Raymond was one of the three people who co-invented it. The other two are socialist, but Eric S. Raymond is a straight up ANCAP. He is a free he's a market guy, and he's also a gun guy. So we should have him on sometime.
Well, one of the beauties of that interview you did with him is he took the real world lessons of creating Linux, i.e. that the beauty of it is the open source. You know, the idea that anybody can look at it and make changes and add input is what makes it so resilient. That way you're not dependent on the mistakes of one person or one group of people. He just took that principle and applied it to life as a whole and society as a whole. And we'll be back with more when we're back from the market.
We're doing the same thing with radio.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
It's the Freedom Fiends Live. This is Sunday. It is the bottom of hour one, and it is May 26th. I am Nima Vidotti. Bottom.
And
we got Michael W. Dean over there being Beavis and Butthead at the same time. What's up, man?
Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, is the libertarian professor, and you and I are the liberty Beavis and Butthead in the back of the room cutting up.
Yeah, the government sucks.
So before we talk about today's title, yes, we give each radio show, each episode, a title. Today's title is 3D Printing to Replace Government by 2016. I want to talk a little about old school weapons. Our torrent master, Sean Diwali, and if you don't know what a torrent master is, go to freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, foxtrot, echo, November, Sierra.com. FreedomFiends.com and look at the Torrent Club link at the top. You can help keep us drone-proof without spending a post-1964 dime. But he is at the anime convention with his kids wearing hand-printed Freedom Fiends t-shirts with the scan bar on the back of them, which we also have the free art for if you want to print your own t-shirts. Yeah, so, but he sent me a picture at the entrance to the, did I say Ren Fair? Anime Fair. At the entrance to the anime fair, you know, where people, you know, Japanese cartoon stuff. There's a sign that says, please check your weapons here. And I'm like, they don't let you carry your fake weapons around? And he said, no, what it is they check, meaning inspect. When you come in, you know, a lot of anime costumes have fake weapons or whatever, they inspect them to make sure they're not real weapons. And if they are indeed fake weapons, you know, they could be anything from a fake sword to a fake ray gun and anything in between in anime. They put a little orange rubber band around it. And that's to show that you're not carrying an actual weapon. Now, I have no problem with that kind of disarmament in a private place where it's not government mandated and the owners of the event have decided we don't want real weapons here. Now, I told my wife that. Now, she used to be one of those pirate wenches in costume, I guess you'd call them, at Ren Fair. She used to hang out with Ren Fair. She was part of a community that, well, let's not talk about it too much on radio, but it does have crossover with the Linux community and the Ren Fair community, the Renaissance Fair community, and another community, which is the community I met her through a website of, which we're not going to talk about on radio, but leave it to your imagination. So she told me at Ren Fairs in California, the most weapon-grabbingest place, well, not really. I guess New Jersey is probably worse than New York and New York, but the Ren Fair she used to go to not that long ago, like 8 or 9 years ago, right before she met me, she used to hang out with this guy and these girls. They go as a group. Okay, there's hints there. I'm not going to say anymore, but they would go to Ren Fair. This guy, he was a sword maker, and he made homemade katanas that were like people would buy them from all over the world. They were Japanese swords. And these are literally swords that with one blow would cut off your head. I mean, if even someone who doesn't know how to use a sword, pick this sword up and hit another person with it, it would cut them in half. They are that sharp and that heavy. And he used to walk around with this sheathed, you know, wearing a kilt or whatever. I don't know if he's mixing eras, but not a kilt, whatever they wear at Ren fairs. But he was walking around with an absolutely deadly weapon in public in California, and nobody thought twice about it. And a lot of people had period type, weapons, actual weapons on them, and nobody thought twice about it. Now I'm wondering, is Renaissance Fair a little microcosm of LibPair? Is it a libertarian paradise? We should have our friend Ben Stone's daughter, Kai, goes to Ren Fair, and she's an ANCAP, yeah. And she's a liberty, total liberty person, you know, totally small government like we are, to the point where we think government should drown itself in the bathtub. But what do you think about that, of a place in California you could open carry deadly weapons and nobody even thought twice about it? People who would be horrified by a gun, even.
Right. Well, it's really amazing, but I guess that's goes to show you the silliness and inconsistency of statist thinking, right? I mean, they're just scared of guns because Democrats are scared of guns. There's no real logic or rationale behind it. I mean, I guess it makes sense to me that they're like, oh, well, those guys are just dressing up in costume and having a good old time. Showing the point that it's not about the weapon, it's about the intention. But they don't universalize that and put the same point or principle with regards to guns. So, yeah, I guess it makes complete sense to me. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Ren fairs. I think I went to one when I was 10. So I don't know if I could have the kind of clout to call it a lib pair or a microcosm. But, yeah,
there's a lot of commerce at them.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Speaking of commerce, we've got to go engage in some of that. Stick with us, folks. We'll be back with hour two of the wonderful, wondrous Freedom Fiends.
Ren fair enough.
Yeah, Ren fair enough, baby.
Worms.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key.
All right,
key
so when we come back,
I'm going to
have you lead just so you can get some words in edgewise here today, Nima. I think it was like when we were doing the pregame show, you sounded sleepy, so I drank too many coffees.
All right. And then I'll go make myself some more coffee.
All right. So. We'll be back. It's five after or whatever.
Yep. Organic. Yeah.
Of the Freedom Fiends live Sunday show, May 26, 2013. What it do, Mr. W. Dean?
Welcome back. Welcome back. What's up, Raymond? Yeah. Raymond Noodles.
Raymond S. Noodles. That's me. Yes.
Nima Vidati. I am Michael Dean, broadcasting wild, and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location somewhere in the rural wild mountain west of Wyoming. Basically, We're coming to you in bunker vision. Bunker vision.
Somebody had their espresso enema just now. Good job over the break.
Good job. Good show.
Good show.
Got any guns, Governor? I'll just take that. So speaking of weapons and katanas and Ren fair, my wife told me during the break that that same guy who made the katanas, and in fact, he was really good using them. She wanted to point that out. He isn't some poser, but he's like a weapons expert with edged weapons. He's also a...
When does he get into sword fights?
He's competitive. I don't know. Mm. She could tell you, but she's doing womanly things, putting away groceries.
She's doing her
woman,
job.
Do my groceries. Okay, you know, I could talk to her like that because she's armed. You know, she's not my slave. Mm-hmm. She's got a gun in her purse. You know,
that's the biggest women's lib thing that's important, right? Women being armed.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Makes us very polite to each other. Not that we'd shoot each other. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. But she does carry a Glock in her girl, little girly looking purse. And she doesn't carry a girly gun. And a girly gun's fine. I kind of carry a girly gun. I carry a Derringer in the backyard because I like to run around in shorts. And you can't really
fit a Glock
in it.
I remember when I first met you, you were obsessed with the little, 380 revolvers? No, not 380 revolvers. What were
38.
They?
I still got my 38.
38
my,
special.
That's my shovel and snow gun. But my summer gun for yard and just around the neighborhood is a two-shot 22 Derringer. And that is nothing to sneeze at, man. If you talk to Ben Stone, he's been shot with a 22 twice on two separate occasions. And it's not fun. He said it was the most painful experience of his life. And it, so anyway, Renfair, this guy who made katanas, and I was like, are katanas? That doesn't sound Renaissance. And she's like, Renfair is the period. It can be from anywhere in the world. It can be Japanese. It's not just, you know, British or whatever, you know. So it is totally Renfair compliant. So, you know, it's not an anachronism. But he was once traveling to a Renfair from California going back east by plane. And he had his katana and was checking it in baggage. And the TSA guy said, what's this? Okay, this is totally a good enough for government work story.
Okay.
He said, it is a replica Japanese katana. It's incredibly sharp. Don't pull it out of the sheath. And the guy's like, kind of rolled his eyes, and the TSA guy went, and pulled it out of the sheath. You know, he said, the maker of the sword said, you know, if you want, I can show you how to open it, or I'll open it for you. Don't just grab it and open it. And the guy rolled his eyes, said, and opened it, and sliced the tendons in his hand open, and had to be rushed to the hospital, and probably has permanent tendon damage from being an idiot.
From being an idiot, exactly. From being a goon. Yeah, that about sums it up, right? These are the people you trust with your safety.
Yeah, from being like, don't tell me what to do, surf. I'm in charge because I got hired off a pizza box, and I had 4 hours of training on how to deal with you surfs. Yeah.
I watched Janet Napolitano's video. I think I'm a little more progressive at knowing what to do.
Yeah. Yep. So that's that story. So, we're going to talk about how 3D printing can replace government by 2016. I saw a bumper sticker in San Francisco like 15 years ago that said, internet to replace democracy by 2020. And I guess they probably meant like voting directly on everything on what to steal. But maybe they didn't. There's a lot of smart people in San Francisco who aren't just brain smart, but are heart smart and know about liberty. There's a few of them. Eric S. Raymond is kind of a, I don't know where he lives, but there's, you know, he's worshipped like a god there. Eric S. Raymond noodles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So a good example of this, you know, it's kind of a joke, but a good example is there's recently a baby, a little infant that had a problem. He was going to die, a lot of doctors thought. I'm going to read a little bit of this RT article.
What's it called?
The headline is called Medical First, Doctors Save Boy by 3D Printing Airway Tube. And I'll read the first few graphs here. U.S. doctors are celebrating a scientific breakthrough that may have saved the life of a baby boy. For the first time in medical history, doctors have created an airway splint with a 3D laser printer, which was implanted into a boy whose airway kept collapsing. Kaiba Gianfrido, a 19-month-old baby boy who was 3 months when he had the operation, was suffering from a birth defect that caused his airway to collapse nearly every day. During each incident, the baby would stop breathing, his face would turn blue, and his heart would occasionally stop. Doctors believed it was only a matter of time before the collapse of his airway would be fatal. You know, I won't go on to read exactly their text, but the basic gist of the story is what happened is the doctors called up a university, had them basically design on the spot a plastic airway splint specifically for the baby. The university uploaded a version of that, you know, the actual blueprint of it digitally to the doctors who had a 3D
the CAD
printer.
File. It's called a CAD file.
The CAD file.
You CAD, which is computer aided drawing, which basically means a blueprint. Now, CAD files have been used since way before 3D printing. I mean, it's basically a blueprint on a computer, and it's how 3D objects are modeled by designers and engineers on a computer, but now they can be fed into a 3D printer.
Yeah,
and
that used to be part of the late night ITT tech commercials. Was we'll teach you CAD. was kind of the gist. But yeah, so they uploaded the CAD file. The doctors had a 3D printer, printed it out on the spot, put it right into the baby, and it saved his life. After they implanted it, the boy was okay. His lungs started going up and down for the first time, quote, and we knew he was going to be okay, said Dr. Glenn Green, the pediatric specialist who led the procedure. So basically, you didn't need the government roads. They didn't have to wait on it to be shipped from somewhere out in Mississippi or wherever. They just printed it on the spot, you know, right there, instant product that was life-saving, literally, that saved the life of a baby boy, whereas other government actions tend to destroy lives of children, unborn and otherwise.
How so? Give me an example. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I'm a plog.
Example A.
I'm a little more progressive than you.
A little more progressive. Example A, probably the most visceral of the examples, is drone operators. And they've been interviewed now. There are drone operators, or at least former drone operators, that have been talking to the press. And they will tell stories about how a little boy came running out, but the missile had already fired. And they saw the little boy get blown to bits and saw the little pieces that were colored because it's, you know, temperature readings. They saw the little pieces of the boy then fade in with the background and become the same color as the ground. So there's that example of little people getting killed all the time. Obviously, there's pregnant women that die in these strikes too, so those are unborn babies. And then, of course, I don't like to open the box of worms of abortion, and I'm not saying one is good or not, but what I am saying is the government does steal money to pay for abortions. So that is another way that the government tends to support the killing of babies, whether you agree with that or not. Without the state, you can still save lives rather than kill lives of little children.
So the internet might replace the government everywhere, not just here. We're not talking about the American government. We're talking about the concept worldwide of needing aggression to organize society. And aggression, by that we mean someone writes something down. They say, the voters say, what everyone ought to do. And then the left and the right argue over what everyone want to do. They compromise on where to steal the money from and who to hurt with it. And then they write it down on paper. And then it's just a suggestion, not a law, until it's enforced by the threat of cops pointing a gun at your head if you don't do what's written on the piece of paper. So that is aggression. And we don't like aggression. We are into the non-aggression principle. We are mellow, peace-loving gun toters.
Right. And one of the biggest statist memes when they encounter somebody who doesn't believe in the fantasy, the faith of the state, you know, a heretic. One of the biggest statist memes is roads. What would we do without roads? And like you said in the last show,
they're already built, man.
The roads are already built. B, think about what 3D printing does to the concept of needing roads. I mean, you could have local roads, and those are fine, but for a lot of things that used to have to be shipped from China, now you can just print out the little cheap plastic in your home.
If Cody Wilson, a non-engineer, a law student working out of his dorm room, has changed the Second and First Amendment forever, or let's just say, even in a broader term, has changed worldwide free speech and free guns, you know, the freedom of guns. That guy from his dorm room, a non-engineer, found some engineers to work with, did it, and changed it with the printable gun. Just think what like 12 real, you know, like studied engineers could do working over the internet. They could come up with flying cars that are printable within a year, probably, you know, and crowdsource it and probably do that to where we don't need roads, man.
Yeah, yeah. And the wonders of that and why it works so much faster than a government plot to, say, build something like that or give, you know, a government grant to somebody who builds a new battery for a hybrid car. Yay. The beauty of it when it's not that kind of government centrally planned project is when it's open sourced, there's no restriction on the man hours that are put into it. At all. As many people can work on it for as long as they want or as long as they have. And if one person isn't working on it, somebody else is there to work on it. And the two never even have to meet or talk.
Like
the
Linux. Of it being that's how Linux works, man.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why it works so much quicker, so much more efficiently. And then with the internet, obviously, the designs get spread everywhere. Nobody has to take a monopoly credit for it.
And Linux,
everybody has it.
Linux was done when everybody was on dial-up. I mean, that's, you know, think about that. That was started. A lot of the work on it was done when most people had dial-up. And, you know, the Cody Wilson thing, here's something really interesting. The printable gun, has brought a lot of people to the idea of gun liberty. And a really good example is Pirate Bay actually issued a statement that basically said, we are anti, you know, we don't believe in guns. We don't like guns. They're Scandinavian socialist communists. But they said, we don't believe in guns, but we are not taking down Cody's gun designs because it is a freedom issue.
We believe in free speech.
Yeah, exactly. Man. So it is opening up a lot of people who just don't like guns because they've been told to, and all their friends believe that. And they believe that, you know, we're into gay rights, so we have to hate guns, right? I mean, that's what they teach in government schools now. And, you know, we believe in human rights. Everybody should be able to do whatever they want as long as it doesn't affect anyone or hurt anyone else, aggress on anyone else. And that includes anyone should be able to print or own any weapon they want.
Yeah. Amen. And well, the Pirate Bay people did even say something to that effect. At this, they were kind of talking outside of two sides of their mouth, which I don't mind too much because in the end they did the right thing. But they said something to the effect of, you know, our whole point with this is it's how you use it, you know, and we are okay with that because this goes to show that it's not about an inanimate object. It's about what's done with that inanimate object. And then in like the next paragraph, at least according to the story, they said something to the effect of, we hope people go print out anti-gun signs and rally. So kind of talking on two sides of their mouth, but they, in the end, they did the right thing. They didn't pull it. They have it up there just like everything else because freedom, at least in that regard, is paramount to them, just like it is to us. And we'll be back after we go to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right. Like we said, we are back. And like we said, this is the Freedom Fiends. And like we said, we are about to start talking about things. So, Michael, talk about things.
Well, you don't want to talk about how Arrested Development starts today, and I watched four episodes of it last night, do you?
Okay, we could talk about that, but I want to save the comment from one of the creators as a kicker. Since we're going to have some trouble with the tweak and review because we've kind of went in a million different directions. I'll have one bit I'm thinking of for the tweak and review that'll kind of help to make it all a cohesive ball of freedom to throw at your statist enemies. But until then, I guess Michael can riff on his actual experience watching the actual Arrested Developments.
Yeah, it went online. They're doing a thing with Netflix now where it's going to replace TV, which is going to replace the need for the FCC. Netflix to replace TV by 2016. They are producing original shows. They produced, so far they haven't done completely original shows. They did a really cool show that's based on a British show, but did it completely different with different people and really cool.
Well, they still produced it all in-house, which is the point, right?
Yeah. House of Cards. And then they did a fourth season of the discontinued cult classic Arrested Development, which you and I really, really love.
Oh, yeah. One of the best shows, best sitcoms ever in history.
Yep. And what Netflix is doing is producing whole seasons and releasing them all the same day instead of doing it episodically, which is how it should be done. Because other than radio, which is a thing people listen to in their car when they're going someplace often, or, you know, lounging out in the back. The idea of visual media as something, you know, one of the directors, the guy who directed Fight Club, what's his name? Fincher, who directed the pilot of House of Cards for Netflix, said the days of Thursday night at 8 p.m. are dead. Basically, the idea of be here at the same place at the same time to watch something one hour at a time once a week is dead. And Netflix is driving the nail in that, and it's cool. And they bought Arrested Development from Fox and produced a fourth season of it and released it all at 1 a.m. West Coast time this morning. And I napped an hour and set my alarm and got up and watched 4 episodes in a row and then went to sleep because I had to get up and do radio. I wanted to be fluffy. So,
although I was kind of bummed that they released, it was supposed to come out May 26th and it did, but they waited till it was May 26th on the West Coast. And yeah. I was like, man, I live in Texas. Come on, man. It's the 26th already. I just got back from doing a gig. I want to watch Arrested Development.
I know. Yep. So I watched 4 episodes of it. The first episode of it, I was kind of like, all right, this is about 80% as good as it used to be, but still, it's amazing. It'd be like, you know, if everybody in Led Zeppelin came back from the grave and they put out a new record and it was almost, you know, if it was as good as Houses of the Holy or something, you know, which is about 80% as good as the really good Led Zeppelin. I'd buy it. I'd download it for free on a subscription service like Netflix. Yeah. And I loved it. I loved it. And then, like, after the first one, the second, third, and fourth one were almost, like, 97 or 98% as good as the other ones. It's really good. It's all the original cast members. It's really funny. They're doing, like, self-referential stuff. One of the – and this is sort of a – what's it called? Not a deal breaker. I never – no, a spoiler. So you can, like, go la, 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 and cover your ears for about 25 seconds if you want. This is kind of funny, and it's not a big deal
breaker. I'll listen because I'm brave. Yeah. And I'm forgetful, so let's go for it.
Whenever they show flashback footage, like they're showing footage from the Fox series, you know, explain the narrator's explaining something that happened previously, and then they flash back to it.
Is it still narrated by Ron Howard,
yes,
who did an amazing
yes.
job?
Oh, okay, and he's like a character in it now. He's actually screen as a character, as himself, as a movie producer. But whenever they show the flashback Fox footage, it's got a watermark on it that has like basically they're trying to make it look like they pirated it off of the TV. You know, it says like Show Stealer Pro trial version, you know, like the name Show Stealer is a made up name of something you'd use to pirate TV with. That's pretty funny.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. Good times.
Good
great
times.
Show.
Yeah.
Great
but
show.
It is a great show. And you should go watch it. Another thing that's coming out tonight that my wife is really psyched about. That's the Liberace biopic on HBO. Yeah. It's going to be just a fruit-tastic. Oh my God. It's Michael Douglas playing Liberace and his boy.
Michael Douglas? Really?
And that's why we want to watch it. It's like the manliest, straightest guy in Hollywood playing like the gayest, fruitiest guy in Vegas. And
yeah, I would hope for Robin Williams or something.
Well, his young twink boyfriend is played by, who's the guy?
Matt Damon.
Yes, Matt Damon.
That's great. Matt Damon.
Yeah, that sounds
of the Film Actors Guild. Yeah.
That sounds like he lost a bet or something, or he's just a little more progressive. Yeah, yeah, I can't wait to see it, man. All right.
All right. Good times, good TV. We are the Fiends. We are good radio, and we'll be back after this trip to the market. Stick with us.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Yo, this is MC Raymond Noodles Dog coming to you live with the Freedom Fiends. We got our homie over there on the other mic. What's your name, dog?
Wedgie Throat Cutter from Katana, Mississippi.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Obviously not. No, sorry. We apologize in advance for everything we say.
Yeah. So, you know, they used to, I think we should say at the end of this, because we were talking about SASEs before, ASAPs. Send an SASE, ASAP. I think at the end of the show, we should say,
for a transcript of this show, please send an SASE to Freedom Fiends, P.O. Box.
You know, they used to... they used to say on TV and radio a lot. I think it was like for government-sponsored programs, or if there was any government connection that was required
like
by law.
Like on PBS?
Yeah, they'd say, before the internet, they used to say, for a transcript of this show, please send $5 to, and I'm like, who would want, okay, I guess. But now they got software for that. But on my first webpage in 1996, at the bottom of the webpage, I put, for a transcript of this webpage, please send $5 to.
Yes, yeah. That sounds like a thing Michael Dean would do.
Pretty close for government work. And speaking close of which, we say often, what do we say often about pizza boxes and people? What do people say about it?
You make fun of government goons and you say some dude hired off the back of a pizza box. Slightly incorrect, because it was actually the front of a pizza box. People in the chat room asked us, hey, is that a real thing or are you guys just being your normal fiend selves? But no, it's actually a real thing. We got this article here from the Washington Post by Ed O'Keefe. The headline is TSA using pizza boxes to recruit new workers. And I'll go ahead and read the first few graphs here. Federal agencies often head to college campuses, job fairs, or buy newspaper classified ads to announce new job openings, but the Transportation Security Administration is reaching out with pepperoni and cheese. Quote, a career where x-ray vision and federal benefits come standard, end quote, reads a TSA ad appearing on pizza boxes across the Washington region. Quote, Washington Reagan National Airport and Washington Dulles International Airport are now hiring transportation security officers, end quote, the ad said. Quote, see yourself in a vital role for Homeland Security. Be part of a dynamic security team protecting airports and skies as you proudly secure your future. All right. Yeah. And apparently it was noticed by a hungry and intrepid WTOP radio reporter who noticed the ads last this article's old, but noticed the ads when old. She ordered a pizza.
How old is it? Does it say, to join the TSA, send an SASE to...
No, it's not that old. Not that old. But no, actually, the article doesn't have a dateline, but I know it's got to be an old article because... Oh, here it is. July 14th, 2010. So a couple, 3 years
now,
back almost.
You have been a part of the pizza industrial complex before, and what you have found, and I want you to extrapolate on this a bit, is even smart people who order pizza a lot... And this is the target demographic that they're going after for the TSA employees who cut themselves on a katana when told not to. Even the smart ones tend to be stupid. Maybe they're stoned or drunk when they order stuff. But, I mean, you deal with college
sometimes
students all
not,
the
man.
Time, right? And they're like, you've had problems getting into buildings. Also, what? Tell us a little about pizza people.
Well, usually it's math that's the most apparent problem. Yeah, I deliver at University of Texas campus, and the people who seem to have the most trouble with math are college students, and surprisingly, a lot of times it's college students in the engineering buildings or the science buildings.
That's actually a 30 Rock episode where like they hire the guy to make the American engineers to make couches, and Jack's like, you ruined these couches. Don't you know how much money we're losing? And the head engineer says, I don't know. I'm not very good at math.
Right. And so, yeah, they have some real problems with arithmetic. I mean, maybe it's because they use calculators and they're so used to higher order stuff, or maybe they're just not good at it. I don't know.
The future. But, the children are our future, man.
Well, and speaking of that, I've delivered to the educational building, which is the building where they train the future government teachers of the world. And I was supposed to deliver to them once, and the order came in. It was three separate orders. Apparently they had tried to order online. They had ordered like the same thing but kind of mutated three times. They had pressed the submit button, and I was like, something's fishy about this. So I called them, like, oh, sorry, we're really bad at the website. They actually only wanted one of those orders, but they sent it through three times because they didn't know how the internet worked. And so I was like, man, future of America right there.
Yeah. Somebody just said in the chat room that when he was in the military, a lot of guys that got kicked out of the military got hired straight up by the TSA.
I can see that. Yeah. Well, I know local police departments also have, I think, procedures or programs where they attempt to recruit former military dudes and veterans, and that's kind of a thing for them. Other companies, too, seem to have that. I think armored car companies make that a priority, too, to hire. I mean, maybe that's because it's part of the same kind of
work.
Well,
a couple things. One is they get government incentives to hire people from the military, and the other is they want people who are clean cut and obey orders without question.
Right. Yeah, reminds me of General Smedley Butler's quote that I was in the military for something like 20, 25 years, and I don't think I had an original thought that whole time.
Smedley Butler, the fighting Quaker. Ben Stone.
Is he
Ben,
a Quaker?
Yeah. He was called the Fightin' Quaker. You know, there, the famous, there's not a lot of Quaker role models out there that people know of. There's Smedley Butler, who was a good guy. There's Richard Nixon, who I think he was literally a bad Quaker. Not to be confused with the bad Quaker, who's a good Quaker, who's only called bad Quaker because he carries a firearm, and Quakers are supposed to curl up in a ball if attacked. And that's why he's the bad Quaker. But, you know, Quakers...
Nixon was more than a bad Quaker. Nixon was an immoral Quaker.
Yeah. But the Quakers actually I wouldn't say started the anti-war movement, but were very important in the early anti-war movement in America and the...
And abolition of slavery.
Abolition of slavery. Yep, absolutely. But Ben says that now a lot of them are really socialist. Like, they're just like, yes, the government should fix all the problems in the world, which is... Not to say they're all like that, and I don't want to be collectivist, because we rail at collectivism here on the Freedom Fiends, and it is our biggest enemy. It is the stupidity. Even smart people can be stupid if they are collectivist. Explain collectivism.
Collectivism, as opposed to individualism. It's basically the concept that human society functions as chunks or groups of collective people, rather than as the actions of individuals. You know, it's the opposite of what Mises called human action, which is focusing on the individual's needs and desires. So it basically lumps people and oversimplifies the way the economy works and the way society works by focusing instead on groups and assigning them similar attributes, ignoring the fact that each individual is infinitely unique, right? Even if you do share some attributes with people of similar ethnicity or sexual orientation or something like that, that doesn't mean that you're going to act in the same exact way as them. You're going to act in whatever unique situation you were born with or
unique
grew
New
up
York.
With. Unique New York.
Unique New York.
You know,
whenever
you need
it. Whenever you hear someone say, all blanks are blank, you're dealing with someone who is collectivist. Whenever they say all blanks are blank, or almost all blanks, or most blanks, although statistically I probably say it once in a while, but I don't mean it in the socialist way that collectivists mean, which I'm collectively collectivizing collectivists, but they are collectivizable because their whole thing is, you know, lump the problem, put it in a box, and then kick it, or do what, you know, do something bad to it.
Right. Yeah, and it's really... It allows for so much inaccuracy in the kinds of plans that the state gives to people, and that can be a big problem. Bastiat talked about the seen and the unseen and said that economists and people in general should focus on not only the seen obvious benefits or detriments, but also on the opportunity cost and the things that will happen as a result of it that aren't readily apparent. And if you're ignoring completely the importance of the individual in your calculus, then you're basically falling into that trap right off the bat.
Yeah. Go, Raymond Noodles. Bust a rhyme, Raymond Noodles.
Exactly. Collectivism bad. Individualism
good. It really is. Individualism is great. And, you know, anybody that says they're for minority rights usually isn't, because they don't usually like the rights of the smallest minority, which is the individual. And that's kind of paraphrasing something that was said by what's her name. And I don't always like what's her name. What is her name? Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand. Yeah.
We got problems with her, but you know, she was early on, kind of like how, like, you know, without Bill Haley and like Chubby Checker doing the twist, which, you know, whatever. I don't want to listen to that. But without that stuff, you don't get Led Zeppelin. And then the natural grandchild of Led Zeppelin, which is Death Clock, you know, and which is rock and roll. Rock and roll reached its perfection, and everyone should just give up now and not start bands because Death Clock exists.
Because of Death Clock, which is a fake band, yes, made by a TV show producer.
Yeah, but
an animated TV show
like Spinal Tap, it's a fake band that makes better music than most of the bands they're parodying.
That's very true, man. Yeah, Death Clock is intense. I would play Death Day for you since we're talking about your birthday, but I worry that there might be some cussing.
Although, yeah, I don't think we should play any music for several reasons that we didn't write. I don't know if we should play any music that we wrote until we go check it for the Cussbot 2000. They really need an intelligent one. But the thing is, speaking of intelligent, is anything intelligible in Death Clock? I don't even know if there's cussing in there, and if there is, I don't think I'd know.
Probably wouldn't
hear it. You know, I don't want to play it on the radio and get in trouble with the Federal Communications Commission, because they are the most wonderful government agency, and we really like everything that they do, and they're making everyone safe. Thank you, Federal Communications Commission. Yeah, it's, you know, it's
sellout.
So me? No, man, I'm good. I like the government. Anyway, so rock and roll, man. Tell me about it, Raymond Noodles. What do you got? You got some coffee there? I got some coffee. You want some coffee?
I think you've had a little too much. I think we're going to cut you off.
No.
You've reached the government limit, man. You can't operate heavy machinery like a microphone anymore.
You should say, thank you for your call, Michael Dean.
Thank you for your call, Michael Dean.
Yeah.
Pull up the fiend drone effect, yes.
Play the fiend drone effect there.
Oh, man. I'd have to open up iTunes.
Oh, never mind. iTunes.
Speaking of iTunes, I don't know if iTunes was the problem here, but... I actually was a videographer at a wedding last night. I didn't do the DJ work. It was a separate DJ. And a thing happened that is the thing that DJs have nightmares about. And I've had nightmares about this thing specifically happening. He went to play the first dance, right? One of the most important things you play at a wedding is the first dance. It's got to be exactly what the bride and groom requested. And he plays it. Before the intro of the song is even over, it cuts out. And the bride and groom just look back at him like, oh my, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then I don't know if this was to cover or if this was a joke, but he starts playing like some funky porn music, like what was playing yesterday when we weren't on. And it was like, and so they kind of played along, the bride and groom. They're young and goofy, and so they kind of danced to that for a little bit. But they kept looking back like, okay, come on, the joke's over. When are you going to play our real song? And then he just killed it completely, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. iTunes is like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, oh, yeah, there you
go. Yeah, like
just
that.
Like that. Yeah, but, you know, a kind of cool
thank
thing
thank you
happened.
For your call, Kyle.
One of the
one
of the guests started singing Stand By Me, and everybody started clapping along. So he was singing live their own song, and they started dancing to that. And finally, the DJ got to it. But I could just imagine how awful that would feel as the DJ to have some technical software thing ruin your day like that. He played it well, but we'll be back after we go to the market.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hey, yo, it is Nima Vidati and Michael W. Dean.
Yeah.
Back for the last little tidbit of the Fiends here. This is the last segment in our live May 26 Sunday show. And so at the end, we like to do the Freedom Fiends Tweak in Review.
Now, is that Tweak in Review or Tweak in Review? Because I'm
both.
Tweaking on coffee,
it's
man.
Both. It's whatever you want it to be. It is all things to all people. Yay. But seriously, though, folks, we kind of went in a billion different directions here.
That's
so
good.
We touched on a billion different branches, so I don't really have a bunch of bullet points like I did yesterday or the week before or the week before. But I think we could still do a one main tweak and review right here. So because we went on the billion branches, I think we can still clarify the root, though. And maybe I have a little bit of a clearer thing to say about the root. Hopefully it sounds that way. Maybe not, though. Basically, I think the root right now, as I'm conceiving of it in this Fiends tweak and review, is that the non-initiation of aggression is freedom, and vice versa. Like I said before, that is the first principle. And so whenever the government or the state initiates aggression with a free hand given it to it by the horizontal enforcement of the people, that's when you have the lack of freedom, i.e. taxes, tickets, regulations. All of those things are initiations of aggression, and also they are the lack of freedom for the person being aggressed against. So those two concepts, freedom, liberty, which I guess I'm using as synonyms there, but the, or not synonym, yeah, synonym. They are tied inexorably with the non-initiation of aggression. So that is it, man. That's the system there. When people say that, you know, you guys just want everybody to kill everybody all the time, no. We don't want that to happen at all, because murder is obviously an initiation of aggression, and therefore it is the opposite. It is the antonym of freedom. So I guess I did make that a little more complex, but maybe marinate on that a little bit, and we'll keep on trying to unpack Worms. That idea as we move on in the Liberty Movement Worms. With me and Michael W. Dean.
I have that special coffee that's been passed through the body of a worm. Or is it a civet? It's a worm. Yeah, worms, man, worms.
Yummy. So since we got a little more time, I did want to save a little bit of time for this. This is a kicker. You know, that's the fun little bit at the end of
Kick
a piece
me,
of media.
Baby.
Kicker. We talked about Arrested Development, which is one of our favorite shows. The International Business Times has a headline, Arrested Development Season 4, : don't binge watch the new season, says series creator Mitch Hurwitz. No, you didn't. You watched the first four.
Yeah, but that's I'm going to edit this episode, then I'm going to drink 17 more cups of coffee and watch the whole rest of the season tonight.
Yes, you get to consume it how you want because it's on your TV, on your Netflix
account. Well, if you're going to be at work, I could call you. I could make a transcript of it and call
make
you
a transcript.
And read
there you
it
go.
To you.
Call me and read me the transcript of Arrested Development Season 4. Binge yell at me the actual events of Arrested Development Season 4. But yeah, Mitch Hurwitz, who's created it, says that it'll stop being funny. When you're on the eighth episode, you will have comedy fatigue.
That guy doesn't
kind of what he means.
He doesn't know how I consume his media.
He doesn't.
Don't tell me how to watch your media. You don't own media once you let it out in the world, man. The other people own it.
He is literally suggesting, because he is not calling on Congress to force you to not binge watch it.
Okay.
He is just suggesting. Yeah. So if you trust the judgment of Mitch Hurwitz, the creator of
not
Arrested
really.
Development.
I think he's really good at creating Arrested Development and should just then shut up.
Well, when I said you, I meant the royal you.
Smart so people aren't always
everybody
smart.
Everybody else out there, if you trust his judgment, maybe watch it in four episode chunks.
Don't tell me to moderate stuff you made, Mr. Hollyweird. Just make
now,
your...
I can never binge watch more than four or five episodes anyway, just because, you know, things come up.
You have a family. Well, also your wife likes Arrested Development, I think.
She does.
My wife hates it. And she said, well, I'm glad I have a bunch of new 900-page novels so you can go in your room, in your office, and watch it.
How can anybody hate Arrested Development? Is that a real thing? Is that,
that
a situation people have inside of themselves?
Yeah.
Hating Arrested Development?
You know,
I guess to each his own.
I really don't have all that much in common with my wife in the media we consume, but we're totally such a match otherwise, which is why it's weird when, you know, like dating sites like, oh, you like the same music as I do. Let's get married. No, it's more than that, man. It's liberty and it's worldview and it's compatibility. And I love my wife on the Freedom Fiends and off.
That's an ad for the Fiends dating site.
And we're going to hear my wife's voice coming up here pretty soon. If we don't talk over her.
Let's try not to.
All right. Worms. Worms.
I think it's soon. I think.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.